Romans chapter 1 in the 16th verse. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." That word "not ashamed" means I won't be disappointed. I am not disappointed. I'm not made to be disappointed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. That includes everyone. In those days, you were either Jew or Greek. You were Gentile or you were Jew. That included everyone, the whole nations, everyone. Okay? So we'll get that out of the way. It included everyone. Say everyone. Okay. Now he says, I'm not disappointed because the gospel is the power of God. So one day I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm reading this verse of scripture, but I'm not seeing a lot of power in the church. I'm not seeing a lot of power in people's lives. Your power. I see people struggling with sin. I see people struggling with their finances. As a matter of fact, Lord, we pastored for 14 years up in Pennsylvania, Connecticut. And it was during that time when you're pastoring, you counsel with people, and these things come to light. So I said, Lord, I don't see a lot of difference between your kids and the world. It's like they're living the same. How are you doing? I'm doing okay under the circumstances. Oh, well, so-and-so is sick, and they blah, 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 and they do that. And so you're looking over here at those that are the children of God, and you're looking over here, and you see nothing different. The only difference is I know I'm going to heaven versus I don't know that. But God had so much more in mind. He had in mind for us to change a world, to change neighborhoods, to change cities, to set people free, to bring people out of that misery of sin, darkness, awfulness that we were once in. We let the devil trick us. He tricks us into thinking, they don't want to hear. When I went witnessing in the early days, I went through all that stuff. He tried all that. And sometimes he succeeded. Put fear on you that you might be rejected if you share Jesus. They wouldn't want to listen anyway. Let me ask you a question. Were you thankful when somebody shared Jesus with you and you came to know the truth? Why wouldn't it be the same with somebody you speak to? Talking with Priscilla the other day, and she said most of the time when she shares Jesus with someone, wherever it may be, 95% of the time, whether they pray for salvation or accept it or not, they say, thank you for sharing that with me. At my daughter's wedding, at their behest, I got up during that and I shared a 10-minute salvation message. Made a call for salvation. And the Spirit of God did a wonderful job. I was thrilled. Because it certainly wasn't me. I knew that when that was over. But it was good for a 10-minute message. I was wishing it was recorded because I wanted to hear what I said. But however, okay, when the line was there and people were going out, I can't tell you how many people, I couldn't count the number, that shook my head and said, thank you very much for sharing that. Thank you very much for sharing that. Thank you very much for sharing that. People are desperate, folks. And they're more desperate now. When we were doing the street meetings in Philadelphia, we did hundreds and hundreds of street meetings. Thousands of people got saved. Okay? I trained teams. And we had team leader, 5, 6, 7 people. And they would go down to Philadelphia. And because they worked, and I understood that, we developed many teams so you had one meeting a week that you were to go to and work the meeting, go out, pass out tracts. There's a meeting going on in the corner. Music would be playing, draw the crowd, then minister to those people after, pray with them, get them to fill out the card, because we had churches that we gave the cards to follow up. Do you know, not only did they say this, but you cannot imagine the joy in that van on the way back. It was astounding. And they told me over and over, I'm so happy. I have so much joy. But what had they just done? They did exactly what the disciples did when Jesus sent them out. And what happened when they came back? They were filled with joy. We're missing, you know, it isn't that I have to witness. It isn't that I got to witness. God loves me just the same, whether I ever share or not. It doesn't matter. Okay? What, to Him, He loves us. He'll heal you. It doesn't matter whether you minister to somebody. He'll meet your need. It doesn't matter if you witness to somebody. You get to. Hallelujah. You get to. You get to have joy overflowing. And He's not disappointed if you don't. I've had that happen where I knew the Spirit of God was speaking to me, witness to that person, and I chickened out. And I'd walk off, and then the devil would try to condemn you and get you guilty over it, and the Spirit of God would speak to me and say, no problem, we'll get him next time. You're the righteousness of God. I can't tell you the number of times the Spirit of God within me reminded me that I'm the righteousness of God. What does that mean? That means I'm in right standing with Him even though I chickened out and I didn't witness. I could still go to God and God will still answer my prayer. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. I stand before God as if I have done all of His will 24/7 for my whole life because of Jesus. Amen? You can't imagine the number of people from condemnation and guilt over that kind of stuff that gets robbed from what is rightfully theirs and they let it go. Why is it so difficult for healing for people? It's as simple for healing as it is to get saved. But why is it so difficult? Because of that. Because you think and you let the devil convince you that you weren't good enough today. You didn't pray enough today. You didn't confess enough. Let me ask you a question. How many understand anything about the word of faith? Raise your hand. You believe you understand something about the word of faith. I understand something about it. I consider that I was more word of faith oriented than any other because I listened to Kenneth Hagin, I listened to Kenneth Copeland years ago and learned a lot. However, the Holy Spirit beginning to deal with me, and He said, son, it is more important on why you do something than what you do. Why are you confessing the Word? Are you confessing the Word to get healed? Do you think if you confess long enough, you'll see a manifestation of your healing? Why would you think that? See, that's not faith. That's works. That's you doing something to try to get God to do something that He's already done. See, your confession of your faith, your confession of your faith is a fruit of what you know that God has already done. So on the one hand, we'll say, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. How many have said that? I have. And we'll say, Jesus bore our infirmities and took our diseases, right? He also took our grief and sorrow, didn't he? Grief comes from loss. Anybody ever lost anything in their life? And you experience the grief from the loss? We all have. Death in the family, whatever the case might be. God doesn't want you racked up in grief. Jesus took that grief. What did he give us? Joy. What good, when my mother passed away, there was an element of grief. She's saved. She's going to heaven. Praise God. All of my parents, her parents, we saw to that. Even though at the beginning, my mother screamed at the top of her lungs, red-faced at me, that he was Catholic to the bone, that I was going to hell. But God, amen. And she calls me, guess what? I prayed with Kenneth Copeland for salvation over the TV. So, you have a little grief, okay? But God doesn't want you in that. He doesn't want that to overwhelm you, that you can't go on. Jesus took that. Now, where would be the joy in that? My joy is they're in heaven. And I'll see them again. Amen? Praise the Lord. So now, I'm like, Lord, why is it this way? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, the gospel is my power when what you're hearing is the gospel. We think we're hearing the gospel. Remember Paul in Galatians said, if anyone preaches any other gospel, then he goes, it's not even another gospel. Let them be accursed. Well, he wasn't cursing them. If it's not the gospel, it's already cursed. You understand that? If what you're hearing is not the gospel. So I went back and I said, well, okay, we hear this word gospel all the time. I even heard it when I was growing up. Wasn't saved, but I heard the word gospel. How many of you heard the word gospel a whole bunch of times in your life? We all have, amen? But what does it mean? I didn't know what it meant. I think there's Christians today who've been saved a while, maybe filled with the Spirit and so forth and so on, have a prayer language. Still don't know what the gospel is. So I began to study that because I put two and two together and came up with, Lord, maybe you want me to study that. It's funny, don't let me lose my place there, but I want to tell you, we were going over this in Acts where Paul was going along and finally he had a vision of the guy in Macedonia saying, come help us. And the next verse says, we concluded that the Lord wanted us to go there. I said, see, they were human too. they were all too human, Paul and all of them, okay? They were saved by grace too. Amen. They're in the same boat as we were. We are. They're dealing the same way. Not super spiritual. You know? Faith. They had their thing. They had their unbelief to get past, and they had different things to deal with. Okay? Now, where was I in the marker? Anybody paying attention? So I started studying the gospel. The word gospel. And you know what I found out? Let me share with you what I found out. I found out that the word gospel actually was originally used in the Word of God from the classical Greek meaning. See, what's happened over time and what the translators do is they go from the classical Greek meaning and they put a modern Greek meaning to it. And I think that's a devil trick. Word says don't be caught up in the devil's devices. And I think that's a devil trick, and I'll tell you why I think it is. Because God, devil is like the art of containment. See, it's like when the children of Israel came out and God was taking them out of Egypt and Pharaoh said, who's a type of saying, you can go, but don't go too far. I want to keep an eye on you. See? So he's the art of okay, so you're saved, you're going to heaven, but that's it. I ain't letting you get in no more. Don't you even think about being endued with power from on high. That ain't going to happen. I'm not going to let you. See? Yeah, you hear about grace, but I'm not going to let you really know what that's about. And we settle. We settle. We don't have to. You can settle. You're going to heaven. Everything's fine. I'll tough it through like the world toughs it through. I'll handle tribulations and everything the way they do. I'm not going to have any dominion. I'm not going to change circumstances. I'm not going to see supernatural power of God. I'm not going to have any of that happen. I'm going to take my children to the hot doctor. I'm going to pay the bills. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That's your choice. Not you have to. Amen? That's our choice. However, you can have fun. You should have seen me jump all over the place when I found out. Did you ever wonder why God made the devil? Didn't he create everything? Say, well, did he make the devil? Well, he created him as Lucifer, the angel. He had his own free will and he rebelled. You know what God's point of view is on Satan? He's there for you and I to destroy. To take our wrath out on him. To kick him in the butt. Well, didn't he say, make your enemies footstool? To kick him? Isaiah says, I created the blacksmith, the coal burner, Satan, to destroy. For you to destroy. So, wait a minute. What did Jesus do when he came? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing those who were oppressed of the devil, right? And destroying his works. It changes your perspective, doesn't it? I've had so many Christians, oh no, the devil's attacking me. I've had them cry in front of me. Hell is in my house. The devil's stealing everything. They're crying. Folks, that's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. Every time he tries to do something to you, it is an opportunity. Well, do you have word on? Jesus went to the wilderness. He confronted Satan, right? What did Jesus do? He used the word, the word, the word, the word. What does the next verse say after the enemy ran off? He came back in the power of the Spirit. It only makes you stronger. It only makes you stronger. He has no power of death over us. He's been stripped. It only releases more of the power of the Spirit in you every time you beat him down. With what? The Word. You let the Word do the fight. Don't mess with him. Don't parlay with the enemy. You speak the Word. Jesus didn't. He spoke the Word. And he let the Word defeat him. Some of us have a problem in our faith in the Word to do what the Word says it'll do. I ran into that in pastoring with other pastors. I said, you do not believe the Word of God can take care of your people by itself without you throwing guilt and condemnation on them to get them to do what you think they ought to do? Now, I talk to other pastors that way. I don't talk to you guys like that. See, that's just a lack of faith in the Word. Well, I'm a Word of Faith person. Are you really? See, I know that when I plant the Word, I don't worry about it, fret over it, and what's going to happen, because the Word is going to do what it says it'll do in you. The Word of God, Jesus, does not need my help. Hello? Believe me, he don't need me to help out by going, Connie, you better blah, 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 blah. I'm not called to do that. Amen? Well, listen, let yourself off the hook tonight. Don't you do it to yourself. Hello? The Word is able to do it for you all by itself. Amen? All by itself. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to do. Abraham tried to help him once. And guess what? That's why we have all that stuff in the Middle East today. See, I could go to the White House and tell them in 3 minutes why it's going on. I just show them Genesis and it says, Ishmael is persecuting Israel even to this day. Thank you. Goodbye. And no amount of whatever is going to change that. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. And he'll take care of it. Because the Word is able to take care of it without our help. Amen. The only reason we want to help the Word, let me just throw this out and then we'll just let it go. Pride. All right, moving on. That's all it is. I want to take care of it. It's tough sometimes when the Lord says, don't do, he still told me that, don't do anything. I'll take care of it. And I'm going, well, shouldn't I even? I'll give you an example. We sold our house last year. The Lord told me to sell the house, that for the next step and what he's having us to do. So we sold the house, but he hadn't said to do anything about moving out of Orlando. So I said, Lord, well, what do we do about the housing and whatever? He said, I'll take care of it. Don't do anything. But you know what you want to do? You want to start looking. You want to get the paper. You want to call somebody. Are there any houses for rent? I need a blah, 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 blah. See? We're tempted. See? I'll take care of it. Well, how many of you want to know how God actually took care of it? Anybody? Or should I just say, he took care of it and we moved? Which one do you want? Do you want to know how he went about it? Okay. I fought it off. I said, Lord, you said you'd, and the time's getting closer. Now, I got to tell you, it wasn't the last day. See, the only reason God's a last minute God is because people say it.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going, we serve, I've heard that. We serve a last minute God. Well, he's going to be last minute because you just said it. See? Not the God I serve. He's well able to take care of it well in advance. See? Well, doesn't the word say you can have what you say? I mean, we're talking faith here, right? Well, doesn't it say that? Well, why would he be anything other than the last minute God if that's what you kept saying? Worse, you're teaching it. Where did that come from? Doesn't say it in the word. Show me a scripture that says God comes in at the last minute and takes care of it. It's because it happened that way, and from the experience, they made a doctrine. He might come in 5 minutes to 12, but that doesn't mean it's that way all the time. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you something to do. You do it once. He'll never tell you again. Well, we want to make a doctrine out of it. We want to make let me give you 5 easy steps now because the Holy Spirit told me to do it this way. One, wait a minute. It's new every day. It's different every day. Why doesn't God want us to have the 5 easy steps? Because they don't always work. Because God knows everything. He knows every situation. When he tells you to do something, it may not make sense to you, but it makes sense to him. If we knew everything that he knows, it would make perfect sense. But we don't. We don't know the end. We don't know what everybody's doing. He does. Now, the next time, if you go for the formula, unless the circumstances and the situation is the same, it won't work. So we go to him. You say, John, did you get that from the word? Sure. What happened to Joshua? He gets instructions from God. He goes to Jericho. He goes around 7 times. They shout. The walls fall down. Boom, easy victory. And then Joshua goes, I got the formula. So he goes to Ai and gets his nose bloodied. Why? Because the circumstance, the situation he was dealing with wasn't the same. There was sin in the camp. And he didn't bother to find out. So it didn't work. Now, I've heard it taught, God won't tell you, he wants you to have to come to him. I mean, have you heard that? Some of you may have heard it, some of you may not, but see, that's not it. God is not in the business of forcing us to do anything. He's not in the business of manipulating your circumstance so you have to come to him. That's tradition. That's traditional doctrine. How can you say God loves me and God is good and God is grace and all what we hear and then turn around and say he's manipulating me so that I'll love him? Putting some sickness and disease so that, I haven't been in the Word lately and I've been away from God, and so God now is doing this to get me to come to him. See, that will just nullify the word. That is not the gospel. That's just doctrine of man. Man looking at a circumstance and trying to figure out why instead of going to God and say, why? I went to the Lord and said, why, Lord? He showed me. He said, you don't know everything I do. It's usually pretty simple. I was going to share with you something a little earlier, which I didn't do. But I'm coming back to it right now. The other day I said, you know, you get to the place where you don't want to make a mistake. Have you ever been there with God? Oh my goodness. You know, if I get out of the will of God here, you hear it taught, and I know it's from a good heart. They teach you this. You know, you need to be in the purpose of God in order to be blessed. The blessing is already there. You know what the Lord said to me the other morning? He says, great. He goes, John, he said, do you really think that I can't get my will done in your life because you made a mistake? I said, I didn't know that, Lord, but obviously I do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking me this. He goes, it's more than that. You believe it. And with that, I said, Lord, I'm not believing it anymore. Let me ask you, if you believed you were doing the will of God, God spoke to you and said, do this, that, or the other, and you were wrong, what's the worst thing could happen? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's our total source. He has all the finances, so we can't go broke. Oh no, I made a mistake. I spent $1,000 and God could have given. No. No. You know what God's doing? Replacing the thousand. And going, son, daughter, okay, let's get going here. Learn something. Move on. It doesn't catch him by surprise. Oh my goodness, he falls off the throne. Lynn made a mistake. What am I going to do? I got news for you. The whole Bible is from Genesis to Revelation is all about how God gets his will done with a billion mistakes. That's what makes him, he goes, that's what makes me who I am. That's what makes me God. I can get it done no matter how much you foul it up. Huh? Who did? Abraham fouled it up. Okay? David fouled it up. The only one who never fouled it up was Jesus. Solomon really fouled it up. And he only had like $1 trillion. I've heard this teaching too. I guess tonight I'm knocking down tradition. Is it helping you? Okay. Here's one. God won't prosper you because he knows that you will get in trouble later. You have to have enough character to handle the money the way he wants you to. Huh? After all, if you made mistakes with your finances before, who's to say you wouldn't make it before? So God's withholding. Solomon messed up royal at the end. Hello? Did he not? He was the richest man who ever lived. Do you think God knew he was going to mess up? How many believe God knew Solomon was going to mess up? So tell me, how does that fit in to that? That God won't? No. We're blessed because of who? Jesus. We're prospering. Why? Jesus. He didn't mess up. We're in him, so we don't mess up. Ever. Are you with me? Now, the gospel. I'm forgotten. So I'm studying the classical Greek, and I'm saying, obviously, you want to show me something here. And I did understand that the translators would go to the modern Greek, not only there, but in so many places. So it wasn't written. That was about the time that I realized that I changed what I said about the word. The word of God is the inspired, unerrant word of God in the original language. The translators We got to check them out. Okay? It's like the nearly inspired version. Oh, I mean NIV. See? You got to check them out. It's the original. The Hebrew. The Greek. One reason why. There's four words in Greek for the word love. It's translated love all over the place. It means something different. And it's so important. You know why? Because when you words paint pictures. So you have an image within you of what that means. When I say to you, Jesus, you don't think J-E-S-U-S. You have an image within you that's been created of who you think Jesus is. You see him in here. Because that's how God created us, and that's how words work. The reason why words are so powerful, and that's the medium by which God has given us, okay, to express faith, fear can also be expressed, is because the word contains a spirit in it, and it creates a picture in you. You tell a child, they'll never be any good, never be any good, that's what they will see in them. Well, you say, well, because God created us that way, and that's the way we work. You see, now faith is the thing hoped for. Now, that's not hope, I hope it happens. The thing hoped for is what you see in your heart already done. That's the thing hoped for. It's the thing hoped for in the Greek means the thing that has already been spoken, that has already been written is what it literally says. The author has already written the thing hoped for. If you get this, listen, what did God tell Abraham? I have made you the father of many nations. I have made you a blessing to all nations. See, God doesn't talk future tense. He doesn't talk in the future. He always talks, I've done it. That's how God talks. I've heard testimonies of people that said Jesus appeared to them and said, I'm going to heal you. But as that testimony went on, and they did receive the healing, every single one of them came to a place where they realized it wasn't Jesus was going to heal them. It was Jesus had healed them before they had a manifestation of that healing. The thing hoped for, see, is you see it. I have it. I have it in here. The speaking brings it into the physical realm. You're already prosperous. By the grace of the Lord Jesus, although he was rich, he became poor, that for my sake, everybody say, my sake, through his poverty, I am rich. You understand, you haven't seen my bank account. I don't care. I don't care. It's not looking at your bank account that makes the difference. It's what's inside that makes the difference. Inside of you. Hello? Inside of you. What's in here? Do you see yourself poor, struggling? Or do you see what the Word says? By His grace, undeserved, you didn't do anything to earn it, He made me rich! Will you stand up for that? Huh? He paid a heavy price. He paid a big, heavy price to make us rich. The church should be and will be the richest entity on the face of the earth. the government will come to us and want a loan instead of China. Because they'll be broke too. When we get this and we begin to see this and we begin to stand for it and we begin to realize this is the greatest thing, salvation of the Lord Jesus, that was ever to come down the pike in my life. Ever. It is fabulous. Gospel. Classical. In those days, in the classical Greek times, when there was a battle, they used to send the scouts out. The generals of the Greek armies would send scouts out. And they were to go and check out the battle, and they were to bring back the good news. The gospel. In the classical Greek. The good news. But there was only one report that was considered the good news gospel report from the scouts. The scouts didn't come back and say, if we send more troops, we're going to win the battle. That wasn't good news. That wasn't gospel. The scouts didn't come back and say, well, if we fight another week, we maybe can win. The only good news that was the gospel was when the scouts came back and said, we won. The victory is ours. The only good news where the power of God is in is Jesus and us, we won. And we have the victory now. The devil is defeated. Poverty is defeated. Lack is defeated. Sickness and disease is defeated. Mental illness is defeated. Well, have you not been given a spirit of a sound mind? Well, why? We have the spirit of a sound mind, power and love, and not a spirit of fear. Why? Because of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ won. Colossians. He took the handwriting of requirements. What was that? What we had to do to have all that from God, and he nailed it to the cross. Colossians. He nailed it to the cross. And he said, it's no longer required. It's no longer required. Because I have won. His resurrection from the dead was victory. It was, you are already a winner. You have already won. It is done. Your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Your sin cannot separate you from God. Ever. Ever. You are the righteousness of God. You know what that means? I have every right in the kingdom. I have every right of everything that God has already won. You know, I'm in right standing with God, and I'm always in right standing with God. I don't care how many mistakes I make. I don't care how much I muff up. It doesn't matter whether I'm in the Word, not in the Word, pray, don't pray. I'm still right with Him. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Here's not the gospel. When you're hearing a man-centered gospel, which is what you ought to be, what you should be, what you ought to do, what your responsibility is. We need to do this for God. We need to do that. You need to serve God. You need to serve God. You need to obey. You need to obey. You need to do this. You need to do that. If you don't, you won't be blessed. Where's the power in that? Ephesians 1:3 says, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, when you hear this, Connie, if you do that, you'll get a blessing. That's not the gospel. I do it because I'm already blessed. That's faith. I give because I'm rich. I don't give because I have to. I don't tithe because I have to. I give because I'm already blessed. Abraham tithed after he was blessed. So I give. See, motive is everything, the reason why. God dealt with me that over and over, and he showed me. He said, hey, it's why you do it. Why? Why are you confessing? Are you confessing to try to get me to do something? To convince me to do something I already made up my mind to do? Are you confessing and doing this because you think you're not right with me and you're trying to get right with me? You cannot establish your own righteousness with God. It won't work. It's cursed. I've had people come to me. Pastor, I come to church. I tithe. I do this. And I can't get healed. Well, you're never going to get healed with that. Why? Because he doesn't heal you because you tithe. How many have heard this? If you tithe, if you give an offering, then God will do this. That ain't the gospel. I sow bountifully because I'm blessed bountifully. Well, you haven't seen my bank account. It doesn't matter. I'm blessed bountifully. I don't sow a seed because I have to. I sow seeds because I'm a blessing machine. Amen? Why is it that people have difficulty in forgiving? It's simple. Because they haven't forgiven themselves. They haven't received the forgiveness of God. They haven't understood that I'm forgiven past, present, and what I'm going to do already. And received it so they can extend it to others. See, I already forgive you all. You say, what for? For anything you might do. Then I don't have to go through all of that forgiveness thing and all of that. Well, you say, well, word of God, what is the word? What is love? It does not take into account a wrong suffered. Well, see, I don't read that and go, you know what, Priscilla? We have to not take into account wrongs suffered. I can't do that in my own strength. I couldn't do it before. I can't do it after. You can't do it. You can't make up your mind and go, I'm not taking into account any wrongs suffered. You know, I'm really a hot rod here. I can really get it done. You can't. The love of God is in you. We read the love chapter. Okay? How many have heard that? And they list all this and say, you need to be... It doesn't say. It says, if you have not love. Paul is saying, if you don't have the love of God in you, shed abroad by the Holy Spirit, you can't do that. Because it's the love of God in us, through us, that does it, and it's done by faith. It's not bucking up and going, I'm going to do my best to walk in love. Okay. I'm going to do my best to not take into account. You will be heaped up with unforgiveness like you never imagined. Why? Because it's by grace through faith. See, it's not faith if you're going to do it. It's faith when I say, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, I have your love in me. I have your love working through me. Your love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Thank you, Lord, by faith, I walk in that. You know why more people do not attend church? Because they don't understand that you even have to attend church by faith. It takes faith to get there. They think they can actually deal with the devil who's trying to stop them in the natural to get there. It's that simple. You say, how do you know that? The Lord told me that. He showed me that in the Word of God. So the gospel is always what? We've won. The victory is won. And what am I doing? I'm simply putting the victory into effect. If it's not now, it's not faith. If it's not now, it's not faith. Any time that I don't know that God has already given to me what He said He would, when I don't know that He's healed me, when I don't know He's provided my need, when I don't know that He's forgiven me, I will try to do something to get Him to do it. That's not the gospel. That's why there's no power in that. And yet, there's a lot of blessed people, bless their hearts, saints of God, that are caught up in what isn't the gospel. And they're suffering the curse of the law. You know, I wondered one time when people would tell me how hard it was. We were saved 3-4 years, and it was like the devil sent a steady parade of people to tell me how hard it was to be a Christian. I said, you can't be serious. Have you lived in the world lately? And you tell me it's hard to be a Christian? I said, I spent my whole life sacrificing for sin and never got me anywhere. I was Catholic. That's what Catholics do. Okay? That's what you do. You live that life. Okay? It's horrible. Because you know you're never forgiven. That's how Martin Luther, who was a Catholic priest, got the revelation of by grace through faith. He crawled on his knees all the way up the steps in Rome. They were all bloody. He did it to be forgiven. When he got to the top, he knew he wasn't. Because it wasn't good enough. Why? Because it's grace of God that the forgiveness is given, not what we do. Now tell me, how can that be hard? Well, what they were describing to me as Christianity wasn't Christianity. It was works. It was toe the line. And then I'm saying, well, what about when Jesus said, take my yoke upon me, it's easy and light. Does that strike anyone as like, wait a minute, what you're describing me to me is not what Jesus said. He said, you who are heavily burdened, you who are toiling, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and light. Well, earlier tonight, okay, that was part of it. You don't have to carry the cares. See, the burden, put it on Jesus. It's easy and light. He wants to make your burden lighter. He wants to take that from you. Folks, that worry and fretting will take a toll on your body and your mind. And He knows that. This is a God we serve of compassion. He didn't tell the lady caught in adultery, buck up and fly right, and maybe I'll not condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. In addition to that, He got her off the hook with the religious folk who wanted to stone her. I think He was writing their sin in the ground when they left. As He was writing, Jesus was writing. Let him who has without sin cast the first stone. And says He was writing in the dirt. See? And then one by one they left. He was writing something there they didn't like. You think we don't know, huh? Hallelujah. Now, the gospel then, which is the power of God unto salvation. This is what you need to get. Lord, you say to the Lord, you say, Lord, I want the gospel in my life. I want everything else out that's not the gospel. Because the gospel is the power. And you and I both, we want the power of God in our life. Amen? Amen. Have I got the people here that want that? Not just hoping or wishing. I'm going to tell you one last story and close. I may go into this Saturday or whatever. Tomorrow, Priscilla's going to be ministering, healing the brokenhearted. Good stuff. Call somebody you know that is hurting. And they'll be healed. See, physical healing, sometimes you got to have that inward healing of the heart for the physical healing to manifest. God heals us from the inside out. Amen? Amen? He does everything from the inside out, not the outside in. That's why the rules don't work. Okay? Now, my oldest son, who works for Ruby Tuesdays, used to. He came over. He'd been talking to me a couple weeks. He's having a difficult time with his boss and so forth and so on. He won the best. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he was the manager of the year, Ruby Tuesdays, 1,200 stores. And so he's got this vice president guy hassling him. He made $285,000 profit in that one restaurant, the most profitable restaurant in Florida. He got a bonus of $18. So he said, he came over, he's talking to me. It was a Friday night. And I said to him, you want the, and this was what, I didn't say this, but this is what I know in my heart. The heart of the gospel of the good news is this. Jesus is Lord. That's the heart of the gospel. That's the heart of the good news. Jesus is Lord. No one else. That means Jesus is the first and the last. That means Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means Jesus has the first word and the last word. That means that Jesus can enter any situation because he's Lord over it and deal with it. So I said to him, which I knew the answer, of course, he's 34 now, and he was maybe 6 or 7 when he received Jesus. I said, is Jesus Lord of your life, Joe? Yes, Jesus is Lord of my life. Is Jesus the Lord over your job and your work? Yes, Jesus is Lord over your job and work. That was it. That was the whole thing. We didn't pray any more than that. That's a prayer. It's a communication. You're telling the Lord. However, we didn't pray. We didn't do anything else. That was the whole thing. The next day, Saturday, he's at work. A lady comes in. She orders dinner. And she has the dinner. She's sitting there alone. And it's like 2 hours. She's hanging around in the booth. The servers came over. Are you okay? All that. Went over, told Joe, my son's name's Joe. He being the general manager, that lady's been over there in the booth. I hope she's all right, blah, 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 blah. He goes over, is everything all right, ma'am? Yes, I'm fine, no problem. I'm just waiting. Finally, she calls, tells the server, would you have the general manager come over? I'd like to speak with him. So he goes over, sits down. He's sitting there. She says to him, my name is such and such, and I'm the vice president with Chili's Restaurant. What would it take to have you come work for us? Of course, Joe goes, a lot. She said, well, I have authority to go up to a certain amount. A little bit, about 3 weeks, he comes back, tells me what happened. And, you know, it's either. But anyway, about 3 weeks, he's going with Chili's. $25,000 a year raise, automatic $6,500 bonus per quarter. And she says, while you're training, because you have to go through the training with them, and I knew they wouldn't give him the full 10, 16 weeks because I knew they would say you can do it after half that time, but that's just me and my pride. So she says, we'll give you the bonus while you're training. And in addition to that, because you're having to drive further than were you, because he's around the corner from the Rubies, we're going to throw this in too. After 7 or 8 months, he goes, I'm still finding out all the benefits they give you. Now, he never looked around for a job. He never fret about it. He never did applied. He never thought, what should I do? The next day, Jesus is Lord. Now, can anybody tell me that wasn't God? That was Jesus, the Lord, saying, I'm going to fix it for you and make it better. Amen? Now, let me ask you this as we're ready to dismiss. What situation do you need to declare Jesus is Lord over it? Very powerful. My other son, one of my other sons, he's in the Army, and he's a lieutenant in the Army. And they're getting ready to go to Afghanistan. He's up in Fort Stewart. And one of the things that I've told him is, Andrew, you come up against any situation. And they're training. He goes out in the woods for 3 or 4 days while they're training. They live in the woods, and they, no matter what the weather is, it's pretty intense. I said, always remember, Jesus is Lord. And you need to say it against anything. Do you know that you can go in your life, the rest of your life, and when you come up against a situation, you need to just do one thing? Jesus is Lord over my children. Jesus is Lord over that situation. Jesus is Lord. And I assure you, he'll be Lord. I assure you of this group of people who act upon that. We'd be 3 days listening to the testimonies of what God did. Very few believers understand this, but more need to know it. Jesus is Lord is not just a catchphrase. It's understanding that he is the Lord God and that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's in the past, he's in the future, and here, now, and in the future. He is the I am. There's nothing he can't handle. There's nothing he can't take care of. If we would just declare Jesus is Lord, and let it alone. Unless he instructs you by the leading of his Spirit to do something in any situation, because he's Lord, you don't do it. You let him take care of it. And he will. What did my son? He didn't do anything. He went to work. The one thing he did was he was at work. Well, that was where he was supposed to be. Amen? Are you getting this? Are you getting this, Dick? Please stand. Is there anybody here tonight you do need healing? Healing in your body. You're dealing with something in your body. You need healing. You have an ache and pain, whatever it is. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to declare what? Jesus is Lord over your body. He is Lord. Now, Lynn, I'm going to ask you to do something, if you would, please. I'd like you to go back there and lay your hands on that lady right there. Now, sometimes, one of the things that I've always done in ministry and pastoring is, one of the things that God has given me the grace for is training ministry, training people, getting functioning, and causing them to, one of the graces He's given me is to help you to just succeed in what you want to do. Fella came to me years ago. He said, God has called me to be an evangelist. Now he's one of the most well-known evangelists in the northeast of the United States, and he travels around the world. And I love it. But for 5-6 years, more than that, 7 or 8 years, my purpose was to help him to succeed in what God called him to do. And I get a thrill out of that. Well, I like it when you lay hands on and they get healed. It's not me. It's Jesus. And all too often what happens is people don't get healed because they're looking at the person instead of looking unto Jesus is Lord. And a lot of times they don't receive. And that's all you're doing is you're receiving the healing. Our job in ministry is to help you to receive what God has already done. So it's the receiving part. If there's condemnation and guilt, get rid of it. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Condemnation. I'm not good enough. I didn't do enough. I'm in, all that junk. Yuck. Don't feel yucky. God loves you. And He loves you just as you are. He doesn't love us more because we laid hands on somebody and they got healed. Oh, I love you so much. No. He loves you just the same. Before you do anything. See, we're saved for good works, not by good works. Okay? So you're going to pray, and you're going to what? Get healed. You're going to receive it. Do you expect it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, one last thing. Tell me what you believe that you have received by way of the healing. Go ahead.
Because Jesus is Lord.
Right. What needs to be healed?
My body.
Okay, what part of your body? What's the problem?
Everything.
Total. Okay. The whole package. Guess what? That's no bigger problem than one little thing.
Yeah.
See, now, you have the head knowledge and you know this.
Yeah.
Don't you? You've heard this before. Now it's time to take it.
To get heart knowledge.
Take it. Take it. Jesus is right there, standing right there, and He's in Lynn. Take what He's done. Take it. You ready to pray? Do it.
done deal.